Tonight we'll be in Hebrews chapter 12 again, as we're looking at our quarterly study here, the burden of baggage, as we're looking at those weights that we need to lay aside. So our theme verse tonight is in Hebrews 12 again, beginning in verse number 1, where the Word of God says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us," this is believers, "let us lay aside every weight." Not the ones we want to get rid of, not the ones we have to get rid of, we need to let all of them go. "Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Going back to verse 1 again, our phrase for this study, let us lay aside every weight. These weights are not necessarily sins or sinful. They could be good things. They could be, though, burdens. They are most burdens that we carry around that hinder us from going and doing what God wants us to do in like manner that He wants us to do it. So they are weights. They weigh us down. If you're trying to run a race and you're carrying all these weights on you, you're not going to run at your full potential. Well, if we're going to run the race that's set before us, we need to lay aside every weight. So that's our study tonight as we come now to week 8. It's amazing how quickly time flies. We'll be looking tonight at the burden of the fear of death and disease. The burden of the fear of death and disease. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your mercy, for your love, for your forgiveness. Lord, thank you for being God. Thank you for that one that introduced us to you. Thank you for Jesus coming to this earth and being willing to go to that old rugged cross for us, for me. Lord, I pray tonight you would help these scriptures that we're going to look at tonight come alive. Help us to see the truth tonight that you'd have us to see, and then help us, Lord, to apply it to our hearts and lives, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone once observed that life is pleasant. Death is peaceful. It's the transition that's troublesome. All that's in between. Well, dying is certainly no laughing matter. We fear what we don't know. And the biggest unknown in this life is death. Even as Christians who know that death is just the doorway to eternity, we're often uneasy about dying. So does the fear of dying, the fear of contracting or being diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, does that keep us from truly living? Notice with me tonight as we go to Romans. We'll come back to Hebrews shortly. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 tonight and look at a very particular verse that Paul, through the inspiration of God, penned to the church at Rome. In Romans chapter 7, notice one verse, verse 24. Romans 7, 24. The Word of God says, "O wretched man that I am." This is the Apostle Paul talking about himself. And he says, "I am a wretched man. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Well, he answers his own question in verse 25. "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And this is great chapters where he does what he doesn't want to do, and he doesn't do what he should do. But he says, who's going to deliver me from this? Well, of course, Jesus is the answer. Mankind naturally has a fear of death and disease. If there was no fear of death, Think of how many would be reckless with their lives, reckless in their activities, reckless in their work, reckless in their hobbies, reckless in their sports and activities. I think often of, you see the old black and white pictures when they're building the skyscrapers in Chicago and in New York City. And you see these are men that are up there that are the riveters, and they had a name for them, it escapes me right now, but they didn't have ropes, they didn't have safety lines, they didn't go by any kind of government regulation or OSHA standards. They just walk the beams and go out and rivet. They're throwing up buckets of rivets and throwing up hot rivets, and my, without a fear of death, how reckless we can be. A sense of self-preservation is a healthy thing. We need to have that self-preservation. You know, if there was no fear of death, why would we make so many preparations for it? We wouldn't have funeral homes. We wouldn't have cemeteries. We wouldn't have life insurance policies. We fear that we are not prepared for the end. So we know everyone's going to die unless the trumpet sounds, and then Christians will get to bypass death and go to heaven through the rapture. There is 100% mortality rate. You're born, you're going to die. Hebrews 9:27 says, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You know, death, if you looked at the fears of mankind and you rank them, and people have, death always ranks number one. And then number two is a far distant number two, is spiders. And I'd agree with them. I'm sure there's good spiders, but don't be in my house. Don't be in my path. Don't be in my car and have an accident trying to kill a spider on the dashboard. Death ranks number one among all fears. There's no real cure for the fear of death, but it can be lessened. It can be lessened by our understanding of death. So why do we as mankind, why do we fear death and disease so much? Well, for non-Christians, it's obvious. No matter how they suppress the truth, whether they try to do it through materialism, through false religion, through saying there is no God, there is no afterlife, or saying they're God not interested in me, they can't escape the God-given internal awareness that they're going to die. And there's something after death. David Harrell wrote a book about his father. His name was Edgar Harrell. Edgar was one of the survivors of the sinking of the USS Indianapolis, a cruiser in World War II. It was the last U.S. ship sunk by an enemy in World War II. Of the 900 men who survived and went into the water, they're stranded in the water for 5 days, many with just a life vest. Of the 900, 316 survived the five-day ordeal, surviving the sharks, surviving the thirst, surviving the injuries, surviving dehydration. They all came face to face with fear and the possibility of death there in the water for 5 days. Edgar testifies of those days alone in the ocean. Clearly, he said, there were no atheists in the water. Gone was that ungodly attitude of pride that deceives men into thinking there is no God. When a man is confronted with death like they were, it is the face of God he seeks. We were acutely, he says, aware of our Creator during those days and nights. Christians also, though, fear death and disease. Not just non-Christians, but Christians fear death and disease. Of course, we know that we're not supposed to. We would never tell anyone that we harbor certain fears about death and disease. Certainly, we know the right things to say to others. Well, God is sovereign. He has a good purpose for my pain or my sickness or taking of my loved one. God makes no mistakes. The Lord can teach and take care of my family and my friends through this process of suffering and dying. Of course, those are all true things. Believers, though, don't fear death and disease for the same reason as non-Christians. Because we know heaven's our home. So why do we put on airs? Why do we put on a front that we hide our fears of death and disease from others? Let's take a moment and analyze our fears. Go with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 2. Let us analyze the fears that we have regarding, as Christians, death and disease. In Hebrews chapter 2, we have some pretty and powerful words here, especially verse 15, but we'll begin in verse 8 of Hebrews 2. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Of course, talking about Christ. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. Praise the Lord, we serve a victor over death. And deliver them, this is it, verse 15, and deliver them, those that have been delivered, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If you are a believer tonight, you're no longer supposed to be a servant to bondage. And part of that bondage is the fear of dying. That's what Jesus has delivered us from. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. As we analyze our fears, we need to talk honestly as Christians. What are the fears surrounding death and disease, and how can Jesus help us get the victory over those? Because there are fears that surround death and disease. Well, the first is the fear of pain. No one wants to go through death with a lot of pain. There was a tragic article in the news this week about a mom had left two of her children in the car and went into the store. And the car caught on fire, and these two kids are in the car, and they got them out, and I think most had first and second degree burns on them. But I can't imagine dying by fire. A fear of pain. How much pain will there be for me is one of our questions. Will it be a blast of great pain? Or will it be a gradual increasing pain that lasts for years and years? We do not like pain. And we do not like to see others in pain and to suffer. So we have a fear of the pain that's associated with death and disease. We are blessed today with such medical technology to lessen pain. Praise the Lord for Tylenol. Praise the Lord for ibuprofen. Praise the Lord for other stronger medications that help us through our pain. However, we have this idea that we need to keep our loved ones alive as long as possible and as even possibly extend their lives. In our American culture today, we make every effort to try to deny death's existence and fight to the very end to say, what else can we try? Have you had discussions with your loved ones about your wishes? Do you desire to have, as they call it, heroic acts to bring you back if you have passed on? Do you want CPR administered? Do you want feeding tubes? Do you want ventilators? Do you want respirators? Have you made those decisions? And if you have, do your loved ones know your decisions? Those are important discussions to have as we get older in life. And they go with that fear of pain. But there's also another fear, the fear of our state of mind. Will I still have my mind at the time of death? To lose one's mind is a great fear. We need to discuss with our loved ones what we desire about our care if we lose our mental capacities. Also, near the time of death, will my mind be in a state of bliss or will it be in a state of terror? I've been by the bedside of several that have passed on in our church in recent years, and several have gone out excited, singing to the Lord or praising His name. That's what we want. Near the time of death, Woody Allen, a media guy, said, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Take that for what you will. Then there's the fear of being separated from our loved ones. We fear missing their company. We fear missing the times together and the relationships. We fear we don't really want to go, but we do want to go. We're torn, as Paul said, between the two. We don't want to be forgotten. We need to have a living will. We need to have durable powers of attorney. We need to have a medical power of attorney. Because what those things do is help our loved ones during these difficult days, because they know these are the plans my loved one wants. If they're not able to speak for themselves, they have it written down in a medical power of attorney. This is what how they want to be treated medically. This is how they want to be treated financially. They want this to go to this child or this spouse or these grandchildren. It needs to be written down. It's an easy process, but it needs to be done, because what that does is it helps ease the separating from our loved ones. We're going to be in heaven We're going to be so excited. When we pass from this earth, we're going to be in heaven. But our loved ones are here. We need to help them with that transition. Do they know your desires? Do they know your wants? Then there's the fear of the unknown. We fear things we've never experienced. You ever had a brand new job and you've never been there? You've had interviews, but you've never been in the work environment, and you're fearful of that. You go to a new school, and you're fearful of the school. Go to a new church. Are they going to accept me, and what is it going to be like? We fear things we've never experienced. Well, none of us have ever experienced death. The first time for anything, we have apprehension. And one of his books, a writer by the name of A.M. Hunter, a New Testament scholar, relates the story of a dying man. A Christian, a dying man, who asked his Christian doctor to tell him something about the place where he is getting ready to go. As the doctor sort of puzzled and fumbled about a reply, he thought, how could I answer this dear man and put his heart at ease? He knows the Bible, he knows what it says, but he's looking for something personal. And as the doctor was trying to come up with the way to comfort this dying Christian, behind him he heard a scratching at the door. And he knew exactly what it was. He says, do you hear that, to the patient? I know it's my dog. I left him downstairs in my home practice. I've left him downstairs, and he's grown impatient. And he's come up the stairs, and he hears my voice. And he knows I'm behind this door. He has no notion what's going on in here. He has no notion who's in here with me. But he knows I am in here. He said, this is for you as well. It's the same thing. You don't know what lies beyond the door, but you know your master's there. And that's what we need to trust in. We don't need to fear the unknown. Yes, the Bible teaches us about heaven. We get a glimpse of it. But all we really need to know is Jesus is on the other side, waiting for us. We have a fear of losing control. We plan our lives to the nth detail. We insure ourselves with all types of insurances to protect ourselves. We order our day so that we're the most productive. By and large, we enjoy happy and fulfilling lives and relationships. But despite our best efforts, we can't keep death and disease away. We can't control that. We think we're in control, but God is actually in control. And He is ordering our steps. In many ways, it's right to fear death and suffering. Since God made the universe, it says in Genesis, very good. Death and disease are intruders. They're here because of sin. And they'll be gone, never to show up in the new heaven and the new earth. Until then, however, we must live with a fear of death and disease. But how can we glorify God in so doing this? How can we live with this fear of death and disease and still glorify God? Well, the Bible has answers for us. Praise the Lord. It has all the answers. First, we should know why we fear death and disease. I think we've seen that. If you fear death because you're not reconciled to God, then we need to take care of that tonight. If you trust Christ, you will stand clothed in Christ's perfect righteousness. And He is the one who will welcome you into heaven. God has promised, and God cannot break a promise to give us eternal life if we will call on the name of Jesus and accept His finished work of redemption. But secondly, we need to admit our fears to God, but also admit our fears to others. I do not know the reasons why the Lord has allowed you or your loved ones to suffer or to die. I do know that He uses all things for our good. He uses things to conform us to Christ, to cause us to trust Him and to lean on Him for strength and for comfort and for courage. If we confess our fears to others, it gives others the opportunity to pray for us, to encourage us. It allows us to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, Bear ye another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Thirdly, though, we are to help make our church a place where people can admit their fears without being judged. We should desire to have a church culture where people can find help if they or someone they love is facing death or disease. Helping with bereavement groups. Wow, we used to do this so well. Miss Gay and others, Miss Yolanda, used to do this so well. We need to help those who are going through difficult days, taking meals to suffering families. We've done that for Miss Brandy and her family. Could we do more? Well, we can always do more. The support and care that the body of Christ offers to its hurting members is a gift. It's a gift that we can give. But then, of course, lastly, we should trust God's sovereignty. Death and disease don't surprise God. He knows. He has numbered our days. And He's always accomplishing His good purpose for us. We can meditate on God's Word, on God's promises, until they become a very part of our soul. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What does it say? I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me, and Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. These words of life comfort us in dark days. There's many more. Those are just three. Go back and search those promises. If you are facing those fears of death and disease and suffering, go back and look at those verses. Write them on cards. Put them on your refrigerator. Put them by your bedside. Put them somewhere where you'll see them so they'll be an encouragement to you. Death still lies ahead for me and for you. We should walk with this weight dropped in the courage of the Lord, because He's already faced death and one. It was a young businessman. He was opening a brand new office. And a friend of his wanted to encourage him, so he sent a floral arrangement for the grand opening. When the friend arrived at his business friend's new place, he was appalled to find the flowers with the inscription, "Rest and Peace." He was so angry, he calls the florist and complains, and the florist apologizes profusely. But the florist says, "Look at it this way. Somewhere is a man being buried under a wreath today that says, 'Good luck in your new location.'" We can laugh with that. Let me conclude tonight in a great author. I love to read his books, by the name of Lehman Strauss, great preacher of years gone by. His title of his book was "When Loved Ones Are Taken in Death." Just a little tiny book, but such a powerful little book. He made some very interesting comments about 2 Timothy 4:6. I want you to turn there with me. We'll finish here tonight. 2 Timothy 4:6, as we're thinking on this subject of the fear of death and dying. 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul is writing to Timothy here under inspiration of God. And he says in 2 Timothy 4:6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Lehman Strauss, in his book, When Loved Ones Are Taken in Death, writes an interesting study on this word, departure. He says, "The time of my departure is at hand." He said in his book, this word departure means many things in the original Greek language. He said it can mean it as when a vessel is pulling up its anchor to loose from its moorings to set sail with the tides. Or it can mean as when an army breaks camp to move on, to march on. He said, but on the ancient Greek world, this term was also used for freeing someone from the chains of bondage, severing the attachment. This is how death is viewed in the Scriptures. It's a departure. We are anchored here in the hardships and the heartaches of this life. But in death, for a Christian, the gangway of a ship is raised up. The sails are unfurled. The anchor is lifted, and we're setting sail for the golden shore. In death, we're breaking camp to start going to heaven. One day, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you too will be welcomed onto the golden shores by Jesus Himself. And we will see Him face to face. So if we're struggling with the fears of death and disease, and we're a believer in Christ, then we need to know that God is in control. He is ordering our steps. Nothing surprises Him, not even the diagnosis by a doctor. He already knows it. And He is there with us every step of the way. And if it means pain, He will comfort. If it means a prolonged disease or a short disease, He is there with us. If it means to enter into eternity, He is there to welcome us home. We're just raising the anchor, and we're setting sail for our final destination. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this study. What a difficult lesson tonight, as so many of our loved ones have passed on, and it brings back lots of memories. Times beside hospital beds and hospice beds. But Lord, we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear disease. And Lord, none of us want to have a painful death. But Lord, You know what You have ordered for each of us. We need to be prepared. Our loved ones need to be prepared and know what we desire. But Lord, as we prepare for eternity, help us to look at it as just lifting up the anchor and setting sail for home. One day, we'll all be there for all of eternity. And the best thing is, we'll be there with you. Help that to be our mindset, going home to you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Continue to bless this study as only you can, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.